The streets of Washington are relatively quiet today after several days of protests surrounding the spring meetings of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Protesters failed in their final attempt to derail the meetings yesterday as the ministers from more than 180 countries completed their discussions by reaffirming commitment to debt relief, poverty reduction, and development. But they took no steps towards satisfying the concerns of the thousands of protesters who put these meetings under the spotlight. NPR's John Idstein reports.
During the weeks preceding these meetings and during the last few days, the World Bank and IMF have been blasted by critics who've charged that the institutions support corporate globalization at the expense of the poor and the environment. Yesterday, in his closing news conference, World Bank President James Wolfensohn shot back.
I think we're doing already the things that they were complaining about. And what I couldn't understand is why you would have a group of people, many of whom, not all, many of whom had very limited knowledge about what we were doing, complaining to us about our activities in poverty alleviation, in effectiveness, and try and stop a meeting, the central component of which was to deal with AIDS, poverty, trade, and development.
These meetings didn't generate any big new proposals on those subjects, but during the final session yesterday, a meeting of the World Bank's Development Committee, ministers discussed several strategies the bank is now pursuing to spur development and alleviate poverty. A lot of time was spent on the AIDS epidemic in developing countries. In five nations in Africa, 20% of the citizens are infected. In their final statement, ministers said that's not just a health challenge, it's also a threat to economic development. The bank has pledged $1 billion to fight that epidemic, and Wolfensohn said any sensible program to address the issue would get funding. Ministers yesterday reaffirmed support for debt relief for the world's poorest countries. Implementation of that program has been slowed, partly by the requirement that poor nations show they'll use the money to reduce poverty by spending it on things like education and health care. Wolfensohn said despite the delays, there's no sensible alternative.
There's no point in having debt forgiveness until there is a strategy to employ the money in an effective and a proper way for the use in poverty reduction efforts.
There was much talk at these meetings of reform already taking place at the fund and the bank, reform aimed at intensifying their focus on alleviating poverty. The bank's interactions with more grassroots and public interest organizations was highlighted. So was the fund's strengthening of safeguards against financial crises, which often hit the poor hardest. But these discussions made no impression on critics like Walden Bello, a sociology professor from the Philippines and head of an organization called Focus on the Global South, who spent some time with protesters on the streets this weekend.
Basically, what we have is a number of rhetorical changes, but the macroeconomic fundamentals of the strategy remain the same. So it seems like for both the fund and the bank, there is an inability to learn from the failure after failure after failure.
Obviously, despite all the long discussions inside the meetings and loud proclamations in the streets, these past few days of confrontation in Washington revealed no common ground. John Idstein, NPR News, Washington.